Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to the Matt's edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. My name is Pod Vader. It does not include a Matt in my name. That is reserved for Matt Chatham and Matt Williamson, who will be joining me in just a few minutes to break down the conference championship games. One game in particular we'll probably be spending a little bit more time on than the other, just because of our own homerisms. But in the meanwhile, what I would love for you to do is to please, please, please send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at NFU Podcast. I'll take either or, so that we can have a little bit of interaction here. We can talk to each other. We want to hear from you. We want your input, and the superfans are going to be doing their superfan battles tomorrow, so you're going to be able to hear all of that, and maybe if you got your reaction in before we aired those on Thursday, you could be a part of that particular show. So we want to hear from you, nextfanup@gmail.com or at NFU Podcast. And of course, you can always leave us a review on any of the places where you're hearing these podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, AHA Radio. This particular review comes from Stitcher. It was written about 3 months ago. I'm pretty sure I shared this before, but just in case you missed it, Miller's Arm, Brady Miller's Arm wrote, "Funny, in-depth, unique info for teams and games. I've been listening to this for about a year now, and the knowledgeable superfans for each team are coordinated by a well-organized second-string Patriots superfan, second string, for in-depth discussion about each game, each team, and overarching themes in the NFL. As a fan of several teams, I like getting to hear what the fans of rivals think about why their team will best my own." And that's really what we're trying to do here with the Next Fan Up podcast, present you the view of all 32. Because there's no other show out there that does that. They don't present the view of all 32 from each individual team's perspective. No, that doesn't happen anywhere else. Only here on the Next Fan Up podcast do we actually have 32 unique sets of ideas and perspectives and viewpoints presented on one show for you, which is why some of our shows tend to be a little long. We know that's what you love. That's what you want. You want to have that sort of in-depth minutia about each and every game. And that's why we deliver it to you each and every week. And trust me, even when the season is over, when that Super Bowl goes off, yeah, we take a week off, but then we're right back into it, talking about free agency, talking about the draft. Oh, and the draft is where the super fans shine. So you're going to want to go ahead and subscribe to this show on iTunes, Stitcher, AHA Radio, or wherever. And of course, remember, Alexa knows all about our show. Just ask her, "Alexa, play the Next Fan Up show." You're going to be able to hear it right there on your Amazon Echo device. All right, enough promotion. Let's jump right there. See, she heard me. I don't know if you heard her, but she was talking in the background. Let's jump into this conference preview. And it is this week, ladies and gentlemen, why I have been building up the mats all during the postseason. Matt Chatham of footballbyfootball.com, Matt Williamson of many different podcasts, including the Locked On podcast. They are now here, and we will be featuring. We'll talk a little bit about the NFC Conference Championship, but I have a feeling that the Pittsburghian and the Bostonian are going to have a few words with each other, as it is the Pittsburgh Steelers at the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Wonderful.
It's great that the kid from Iowa is now being spun as the Boston guy. I love that.
Listen, you've spent enough years in Boston. You're like an adopted son.
It's ridiculous. I've actually been out here longer than I lived in Sioux City, Iowa, where I grew up and went to high school and all that. But so I just have to get used to the idea that my 8-year-old kid's starting to get the accent and daddy's from here, air quotes.
Let's talk about that real briefly. You grew up in Sioux City, so I imagine the Patriots were not your favorite team growing up.
I was a Raiders fan as a kid. Where I live in Sioux City, you're sort of equidistant from maybe Vikings, Chiefs, by a stretch, maybe Chicago, Denver a little further, but you're sort of a team without a home, so or a fan without a home team. So we,
St. Louis,
you know,
Rams sort of close,
Rams-ish. But you know what though, back then, there's going to be some fair weatherness. Chiefs are, you know, a little bit closer drive on 70 there, so maybe they go there first. But nah, it's just you're kind of, you know, it's sort of dealer's choice when you live in that particular area. So I was a Raiders fan, you know, loved Ronnie Lott, loved Howie Long. It's something that actually getting to talk to Chris Long here for the first time this training camp when he came to the team, I was like, dude, this is making me feel really old. Like, your dad used to be like one of my favorite players. This is really weird, but no, definitely was a Raiders fan as a kid.
So M-Dub, I'm going to start with you because, you know, the way that I look at this game coming up on Sunday, these two teams are pretty evenly matched. And I guess the question I pose to you is, can the Steelers defense slow down the Patriots offense enough?
Brady's going to get his, you know, I mean, I don't think that's a secret. I mean, it's not going to be, you're not going to keep the single digits or under 14 points. I mean, eventually he's going to figure things out. I think a huge key, and I thought Houston's defense played those guys really well. And you saw a lot of interior blitzes from Merciless and Clowney. That's something the Steelers have been doing with Dupree and Harrison quite a bit too, is they'll bring them off the line of scrimmage a little bit, almost make them second level guys, blitz A gaps with them. Shazier's a good blitzer. Timmons is a good blitzer. As you guys know, and I assume you agree with me, the best way to rattle Brady, if you can, is with interior pressure. I mean, those edge guys take too long to get there. He gets the ball out. And I very much believe at his advanced age, he accepts or likes getting hit much less than ever. He seems to really, you know, to have a it pisses him off, you know, and maybe you can get him off his game, or maybe just make him mad and make him better. I mean, he's so good. But I do think the Steelers will hit him. And I don't know that their corners can play press man and bang those guys around at the line of scrimmage and force them to hold the ball for a while. But they do have, you know, they're the most sacks in the league since week 11. I think the defense will, you know, doesn't give up the big plays. Brady's going to have to sustain long drives, but that's what he's done for years against the Steelers, and he's eating it up.
Yeah, you know, Chatham, M-Dub brought up a very good point, and that is, you know, I was having this conversation with another fan about, you know, they mentioned that it seems that Houston sort of, you know, shown how to get it done versus the Patriots. But it's not that it isn't known in the league. The way to get to Brady is through that interior rush, although it is rarely seen. To me, it's more the Patriots are a great team at adjusting no matter what you're going to do to attack them.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's something that gets talked about every year. I mean, you're taking me back to a team meeting in 2006 with the Jets. I mean, we were talking about that then, sitting around and game planning against the Patriots. So it's certainly not anything new that, you know, if you concentrate a bunch of edge pressure upfield past the quarterback, as soon as you get near his back foot, he's you know, just brushing you by. Could care less that you're back there, right? This is not news. I think, obviously, you know, with Houston having some success, but also with two relatively rare players on the inside, just extremely athletic that happen to be that big, it's really tough for anyone to replicate that. Now, I say this with Pittsburgh sort of having the ability that they have athletes. I don't think they're as big of athletes. Dupree's a more mediumish kind of guy, and nobody has a Clowney. That's just, you know, nobody in the NFL can say that. So one thing I would say, though, is, you know, we talk about this a lot, and I think people sort of make it into A-gap pressures. Like, you know, you're just going to overload the center, throw the linebackers over the front of them. In the event where you have a week where you have some success with some of that stuff, it shouldn't be presumed that inside just means there. Inside can also mean edge pressure where you always make the underneath move. That's underneath as well. I mean, the important thing here is that you don't go past him. You know, draw that imaginary line wherever Tom sets, and it has to be underneath and sort of in his lap. Get on the front porch. So, yeah, I mean, you can do the sort of these flush games where you go underneath the tackles intentionally, so because you want him to make that slide step and throw, presumably to his left, so he's thrown across his body. Or they can be, you know, pick games on the outside where you just go really hard at the tackles and allow sort of the under stunts to come. The big thing is you don't want him stepping up. I say all these things, and when you have some stuff on film where a thing or two hit, all you just guaranteed is that Dante Scarnecchi is going to throw that into the practice cards and they're going to rep the crap out of it, and you probably won't see it again this week. So that's usually just how I see it hit this week. I mean, so that's usually how things work in the NFL. You're going to probably have to come up with something that accomplishes in the same thing, but it can't sort of retrace the same steps.
And then vice versa, now throwing it to you, Chatham, you know, and M-Dub, I saw the tweet and I loved it. We've seen in the past, it's Butler versus AB on the field. And then, you know, it's Logan Ryan and Devin McCourty over on the other side. Do you suspect that's going to be the similar game plan moving into this weekend?
I think that, let's put this one thing. I meant to say this before I sort of get into the coverage angle. One thing that I think that the Steelers should be, that they have as a nice advantage for, just for the freak matchup that it happens to be, James Harrison is not a tall human being. He's incredibly strong. He's squat. Nate Solder is a very good tackle in this league, but he's 6'8". The one kind of body type that is harder when you're 6'8" is the squat dude, right? That's by virtue of leverage. Those guys tend to have better luck against the taller guy. Nate Solder would much rather see Terrell Suggs week after week after week. It's just better, right? Or even Clowney, even kind of the bigger guy where you just don't have to get that low. So I'm presuming that, you know, there may be more action over there. You may not need to load up something because they might feel like they have a nice matchup. Now, into the coverage portion of this, I think what you're more likely to see, because I kind of look at Antonio Brown, kind of like Julian Edelman, really. I mean, he's closer to Edelman than he is Julio Jones or Green or one of the freakish big guys. He's more mid-size, super athletic once you get the ball in his hands, scary good ball skills, all those things. You know, maybe just a notch more explosive than Jules, but a similar kind of threat. So I don't think it's necessarily the who you put on him or if you top him necessarily. We saw that a lot in the game last week with the Patriots, where they're going to treat DeAndre Hopkins probably differently than they would treat Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown is obviously clearly a better overall wide receiver, but it's not so much the gotta be on top of him thing. I think either Butler or Logan can run with Antonio Brown deep. That's not the issue. It's just in tight coverage, his ball skills are so good, or in his catch and run play so good. I think some of the greater focus that would be important to have on Brown is actually more inside help, low help, in or out. You know, the idea that he cannot have a two-way go out in space on any of these defensive backs, that's where he's terrifying. And what makes this team different than a year ago, which, you know, it's probably not fair to make that comparison, but the idea that they don't have Heath Miller, they don't really have much tight end production. I know, you know, Jesse James is a nice player, but it's certainly not an early read. So the tight end position is a little bit off the board as far as something that's going to be a major concern. And because of that, and because there's no Martavius Bryant or whatever, just stretching the field, that guy's different. The other receivers are nice, but it's not the same level of concern. I think you can afford a low hole player or a low linebacker or a low defensive back, whoever it happens to be, to aid some of that inside out stuff, which is, I think, much more important with Brown than saying, hey, we got to play split safeties over the top of him or man everyone else and then just double him with high help. I don't think that's the best approach with him.
M-Dub, let's talk about those other weapons, though, that Ben Roethlisberger is going to be throwing to you, because I think that is where your X factor lies.
Sort of. I mean, that's been a big complaint around here over the course of the year, or pretty much since the first month of the season, because Coach was that guy. You know, he was streaked down the right sideline and Ben threw him bombs after another when he'd get single coverage, which he got so often. They put him and Brown on opposite sides almost every snap. Everyone's been kind of crossing their fingers waiting for Green. It looks like he's not going to play yet again. My buddy calls him a lemon. You know, the Steelers bought a lemon with this guy. Eli Rogers is a quality slot guy, though. He's stepped up a little. But the wide receivers aren't wonderful. But the X factor, I mean, Bell is such a good receiver, though, too, that if you get him on Hightower, and I like Hightower a lot, or any of their linebackers, or even some of the safeties, he's going to tie him in knots. And, Matt, I agree with you. I mean, with your analysis of Brown, but I also felt like you sold him a little short too, that boy, I mean, I feel like he gets his no matter what too. And they certainly take shots with him deep. One missed tackle, you're in trouble, but I think your approach to guarding him is the right one. It's not AJ Green taking the top off guy.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue with him is, you use the phrase, he's going to get his. It's not keeping him to nothing. I mean, you look back at the last game, it's just keeping him off the scoreboard, keeping him in that 6 or 7 catches to 60 to 80 yards is a lot different than 13 for 180.
Two touchdowns,
It's in 2 touchdowns, right. And again, that's even more important than any stat accumulation I mentioned. Red zone defense is huge. When he starts doing tunnel screen stuff in the red zone, when they start moving him side to side, just making sure you don't blow a communication with Brown down there, making sure you don't end up with him isolated on the backside of 3-1, 3-by-1, and you end up with just a solo situation. You need that loose open side linebacker to make sure that any inside slant isn't coming. Just the idea that you don't fall asleep on him on certain parts of the field is probably as important as how you specifically account for him. They're good, and I think they would probably privately concede exactly what you're saying, Matt, that some of those other receivers are good players. It's not that they're not good players, but they're not going to draw coverage attention anywhere near like Brown was. So the formula overall has changed. And because of that, they got to be creative with how they get him the ball, you know, where they put him in bunch sets or stacked receivers or motioning him or, you know, just moving him all around. Sometimes he's on the ball, sometimes he's off. They just have to be creative with how they get it done.
You know, Chad, I haven't brought up the running backs, but I do feel that the Patriots, I feel like that's the one area when we talk about Bill Belichick and his game plans, he takes that one thing that you do very well away from you. I feel like that's going to be the focus of the defense, is taking Le'Veon Bell out of the game, which is easier said than done.
Right.
But I do feel like that's going to be the concentration of this defense is keeping the effect of Le'Veon Bell down. I honestly think, and we don't get to talk about this often, but you as a special teamer, is this game coming down to special teams?
Well, I think we saw it a little bit in that Chiefs game. When you have such a high respect, and I remember this in games where we would face, you know, if it was Ted Ginn or if it happened to be Steve Smith when he's still returning, or, you know, any number of guys out there, Antoine Randall Elway back in the day. But anytime you get in a situation where you feel like you have a game breaker back there, Devin Hester is now out of the tournament. These kind of guys, you just don't kick to them. And it's really that simple. We saw the Chiefs, you know, they'd put Tyreek Hill back there and they would really angle kick away from him, just make sure they got as much net out of it and just don't let him have the ball in his hands. And it would have been a really cool game. You know, we saw that last week where Brown's back in one sequence and Hill's back in the next, but neither guy's getting opportunities. So sometimes a 39-yard net punt is okay. You know, hang that thing up there, you know, try to hit the ceiling and, you know, make it rain or whatever and just get fair catches. So you'd like to say it could be a factor. The conditions aren't going to be much different than what Pittsburgh saw in Kansas City, actually in game. Mild 30s, you know, whatever. No precipitation, at least it looks like at this point. So I don't think you're going to get sort of the shank flat ball that goes 48 or 9 or 50 yards or whatever that is returnable. I think both teams are going to try to stay away from one another. It'll be interesting to see what the Patriots go with. Having Julian back there is helpful, and he used to be one of the best punt returners in the game until he sort of moved away from that role. But we know Amendola is now back healthy. Maybe he gets a little more involved. It's certainly an area where, you know, they could chip away and win some field position back. And if you were the Pittsburgh Steelers and you were studying these Patriots heading into last week, if you'd have got them a week earlier, I don't think you would have put much thought or concern into the Patriots kick return game. It just hasn't been much of their, you know, much of what they've done this year. They were ranked pretty low in that stuff, hadn't gotten much out of it. But wow, then they put one on film. They got a kick return with Deion Lewis. So all of a sudden, you know, there's just a little something more to consider. Are they all of a sudden a top of league kick return team? Maybe not, but it does sort of bring a little intrigue into the game.
And one note on that, Pod, that the Steelers kickoff coverage was a real problem area the last month or two. And everyone around here was petrified of Tyreek Hill. And they did a really good job in that game, but it has been an issue. However, you know, I'm a big Football Outsiders fan, and they have these stats, you know, that I don't watch special teams tape. I don't have enough time. So I trust Football Outsiders to tell me who's good on special teams and who isn't. And every year, the Ravens and the Patriots are at the top of the list, and no other team ever has that kind of consistency. But this has been a down year for New England in terms of their special teams compared to their norm.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, I mean, clearly.
Yes, we always bristle at that stuff. But, and I don't disagree with whatever it is they've got, but I would say that
we I'm not always saying perfect.
No. I'm not saying you are either. I'm just saying we always separate them into the four places. And I'd say if you really look at coverage groups, really good this year. Return groups, not so good. You know, so yeah, rather than lump them, that's an absolutely fair analysis. They really haven't had the big returns. Just haven't had the game breaker stuff. It's been more possession stuff, quite frankly, with punt returns. So getting it down, getting upfield, getting the offense on the field. There hasn't been the game breaking plays until last week. And all of a sudden now you got one. And, you know, Deion Lewis, I say that with a big asterisk because he did put the ball on the ground twice and only lost one. But man, I don't know if the faith is there to stick him back in that role. But I guess we'll see how they handled the practice week.
And I know one of the things that hurt their ratings with Football Outsiders was Gostkowski missed some kicks early in the year, which is uncharacteristic.
Yeah, sure.
M-Dub, what am I missing? What have I not looked at in this game that needs to be brought to our attention?
That the Patriots own the Steelers, traditionally. I mean, I don't know that you can overlook that fact, that Belichick has his team's number. Brady's had this team's number. I think a lot of that is because they're great, of course. But I also think a lot in the LeBeau years, too, that if you're going to play off coverage corners and dare teams to nickel and dime you down the field, that defense just was not created to defend a Tom Brady-led attack. I do think this defense is a little bit better. Not that, you know, Butler's a better coordinator than LeBeau or anything, but they are doing more. They're faster. These younger guys are I don't think the Steelers' defense is a fluke.
I was surprised. I did not expect you to send kudos the Patriots' way here. I thought
they kick the crap out of the Steelers all the time.
I thought you were going Steelers here with us. Let's move our attention over to the NFC, and M-Dub, I'll start with you here. I mean, is there going to be any defense seen in this game whatsoever?
No, I don't think so. You know, I mean, the state of the Packers' cornerbacks this year is frightening. The way that Atlanta can attack you in just so many ways, with so many different personnel groupings, fullbacks, extra tight ends. They don't go as Julio goes anymore by any stretch of the imagination. That 1-2 punch at the running back position is great. I don't think Ryan is at all a fluke. I mean, all these people on Twitter give me a hard time that I like Matt Ryan too much. I mean, have you watched this guy this year? I mean, he's going to choke in the big game. Give me a break, man. This guy's a player. But Aaron Rodgers is Superman.
How about you, Chatham? What do you see going down with the Packers-Falcons?
It's an interesting game. Let's put it that way. I think you come in with this sort of excitement that we're going to see sort of a points total around 70, 80, 90, whatever. And I just feel like I don't have the historical example right off the tip of my tongue, but I feel like this is one of those games where it sets up where it should be that, and we might end up with a 24-20 kind of contest or even more mild. The one thing that was sort of that wasn't capitalized on a week ago is Seattle really controlled things. That was a weird first quarter a week ago where that was just one of the more dominant, you know, two series in a quarter you'll see where they just walked it down the field and got points on each one. Whatever it is that Dan Quinn did on the sideline with the defense, though, worked because Seattle was not able to replicate what they had basically probably coming in scripted that worked so well. And then they counter in another series still going well. Whatever the adjustments were, and I certainly haven't studied it to that degree, but whenever they decided that, hey, this is going to be our sort of counter chess move, it wasn't capitalized on. They weren't able to move as well. And I think that'll probably be your answer in this game as well, just in a different sort of form. But the idea that the Packers are probably going to get some scary stuff early, and to be honest, they'll probably expect the same from their own side, that there's going to be some scary offense early. Which of these two teams take that information, make the adjustment, and the other one doesn't counter correctly? That's probably your winner. It was really disappointing. I mean, I guess if you're a Seahawks fan, to see how, you know, at one portion of the game so completely dominant, and I think at that point, sort of at least in my head, in the first half of the game, it was flooding in that, okay, you know, the Atlanta thing, you know, it's they're gonna look a lot different now here down the stretch than they did in that regular season. And to be honest, we kind of saw that a little bit of the Chiefs. It was like all this buildup about their balance and their ability to do this and that. And it was just sort of all out the window as soon as playoff game got going. But credit the Falcons because it countered quite well. I mean, they really were in a bad spot, countered, and then kept being super offensively productive throughout the second half. So I guess this will be a game of counterpunching. See who can do it the best.
Has there ever been a more obvious point to look at in a game than that holding penalty on the kickoff return that completely changed the entire way that game was being played.
It did. It did. And I hate those. There were some where, you know, it's really hard when people that don't play special teams, haven't played special teams, have to sort of analyze a block out in space as if it were a defensive end against an offensive tackle, where I always wish, you know, you could impress upon officials that have to do this thing that those cannot be held in this equal. You know, it's monumental. It absolutely changes things. Sometimes you're bringing 30, 40 yards of field position off or entirely, you know, one brought all the way back. But I really wish they would allow for a little more leeway, because we've really kind of gotten to this sort of mode throughout the playoffs where you see a big return hit, you pause and look to the corner of your screen waiting for that yellow flag to pop up. And I really did feel like that was one of the moments where, man, that was not a terrible block. I wish they'd let it go. You get corralled around the neck. Yeah, I get that. You get restricted from behind. There's a jersey grab. But, man, everything to the corner is not the Eric Fisher block, you know, on James Harrison. It's not that. I just wish they'd let these roll and let these things be a bigger part of things.
M-Dub, which two teams are we seeing in the Super Bowl?
New England and Green Bay. But I really think both these games are going to be highly, highly competitive. It surprises me that the Steelers are as big a dog as they are. Actually, both, I think, are surprising how big a dog as they are. I just checked that recently. But, man, I mean, this Packers team, with the way Rodgers is playing, is really hard to bet against.
Yeah.
And they're not that good. You know, like the rest of the team's not that good.
Five. I didn't think five is that outrageous. It's one.
I know.
Score.
I mean, I don't know. They just beat up on, not they beat up, but they beat the Cowboys. I don't have a great feel. And I hate to say this because it's only Tuesday. As the week goes on, my tune will change as in terms of predictions. I'll feel better about matchups. As of right now, I expect two very, very close games. And that NFC one, whoever has the ball last wins.
Shh, people hear this conversation on Wednesdays. Don't give up all the goods.
Oh, yeah. I'm much smarter on Wednesdays than Tuesdays.
Chatham, which two teams are in the Super Bowl?
I would say Patriots, and man, it's a flip of the coin for me on the other one, and I'm not saying Patriots antagonize Matt. I do, though, think that it's, you know, if these were not helmet stickers, if it's not cities or anything like that, and we just sort of put XY, you know, XYZ and whatever the other letter would be on each of these four teams, I think there's a considerable amount of space between Pittsburgh and the other three. I really do. And it's not something that is a this week thought so much. It's more of a couple weeks ago thought. I thought that it was alarming that they were not able to score a touchdown. I think the red zone stuff is something to be a big concern. 18 points against a pretty good Chiefs defense, not to downplay them. It's a good Chiefs defense, and it's a tough place to play, but I don't think that you can replicate anything even in the neighborhood of that and expect to come out of Foxborough. I'm not going, you know, into the Houston Texans range of 16 and 18 points and things like that, but if it ends up being 12 to 14, I won't be surprised. And the other game, it's just so much of a coin flip. I mean, I think it makes you gamble against Aaron Rodgers, and he's just has such a hot hand right now. The difficult part here is both of these defenses have been relenting quite a bit. So it sort of feels like we're asking, being asked to make a prediction on a Big 12 game, which, you know, Texas Tech, you know, like, you know, I'm sorry, like TCU and Baylor or something, like, good Lord, I don't know who's going to have the ball last. That's really kind of what this game feels like.
I like the Patriots. I'm not as comfortable as I was last week, though. And I'm going with the Falcons. I think the Falcons at home, I don't think the Falcons have gotten enough credit this year for the season that they've had. And I think we're going to see the Falcons in the Super Bowl, which should be an interesting, I think that's going to be an interesting game too. So, all right. Excellent. M-Dub, where can people find you?
At Williamson NFL. I'm all over the place. This Locked On NFL podcast I do every day is probably the best way to keep up with me on a day-to-day basis, but I'm not hard to find.
And Chatham?
Wherever Roger Goodell isn't, apparently. So at Chatham58 is where you can find me on Twitter. The Football by Football podcast is up. We tape on Wednesday. Should be up there for you either Wednesday evening or Thursday morning. Footballbyfootball.com. We got the Facebook page, YouTube channel. We're putting up new videos, all sorts of stuff.
If for no other reason, you have to root for the Patriots just to see the awkward trophy exchange at the end of the Super Bowl. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Take care.
There go the Mats. A little surprise there. Williamson didn't stick up for the Steelers as much as I thought. Maybe he's cool playing it. Maybe he's thinking with his heart instead of his head. I don't know. We're going to have to see. It will be a good game no matter what. And I'm looking forward to watching it this coming Sunday. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. NextFanUp@gmail.com. Or you can tweet us at NFU Podcast. Check out all the stuff we've got written on our webpage, nextfanup.wordpress.com. I believe James, our Texan superfan, has got a piece going up soon about Sam Bradford and the Vikings. You're going to want to check that out. I have a feeling that's a long-running argument we've had all season long here on the Next Fan Up group that you're going to want to check out. So go ahead to our website, nextfanup.wordpress.com. That article will be posted here. If it's not already posted, should be posted within the next couple of days or so. All right, there you have it. Oh my gosh, I said goodbye before I even said goodbye. I can't believe it. What, you think I'd be a seasoned professional at this point? But here comes Jeff Fisher. Now, there you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that this game is four quarters long.